Today's scripture reading, Romans 8, 31 through 32, 35 through 39. What then are we to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not withhold his own son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not with him also give us everything else? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written? For your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is it.
A few years back, I bought my first new surfboard. 16 years of surfing, I'd never bought a new one. And it was really special because I went out and I bought it. I shopped for it with my son, who was back for a Thanksgiving break from his first year away at college. So for us, you know, he'd grown up and surfing with me, and it was just a really special time to go out and search for this perfect board. Well, we finally bought one, you know, and of course we threw it in the back of my van, and we put his board in too, and then the whole week we just spent going back and forth, up and down the coast, surfing, just being together, enjoying the sun, talking about our memories, old times. And of course, because he was in college, and we talked a lot about his future, where he was going. But when he left, I found that I was reluctant to take that board out of my van. You know, it had become more than just a surfboard. It had become this link to this significant time that we'd spent together, palling around together. It also had become to represent a hope for the future when he would return, probably around Christmas, and we could do it again. But in a weird way, too, it became something else. It became a spur in the present. Having it in the back of the van, it kept like kind of urging me, kind of pushing me, you know, to go out, to go ahead and go surfing even without him, just to go before work, after work. So this board became four boards in one. It had a link to the past. It had a link to the future. And it was a prod to the present, besides just being a beautiful object. Well, it occurred to me that there are lots of objects like that in our lives. They kind of fulfill that purpose. I think an obvious one is a wedding ring. You look at a wedding ring and it's got all kinds of significance for the past. It has promise for the future. And of course, the promise that it represents now really does influence the way we live. But it also occurred to me that surfboards and rings and really anything that we have in our material world, it's all subject to being lost, being broken, being destroyed. Even the promises that they represent are subject to change. In fact, there isn't anything in our world, really, in our lives that is permanent and durable and unchangeable, except for God. And it's towards God that Paul, the apostle, points us today in that passage. God, who is permanent, who is durable, who is unchanging, who links us to a significant past, who lifts our gaze towards the future, and who stands with us in the present, stands with us to strengthen us and to guide us, especially in times of hardship and times of trouble. Paul was an expert on times of trouble and times of hardship, owing mostly to the fact that he switched sides on a very controversial topic during his days. In those first decades of that first century, Paul was famous for being a violent opposer of the people of Jesus. Jesus' followers, they called themselves followers of the way. He was famous for violently opposing them. But then he had an encounter with Jesus, and it totally flipped him 180 degrees. And he went from being in violent opposition to being a passionate supporter of the people of Christ. Suddenly, instead of chasing after and persecuting Christians, the tables were turned on Paul. And he could hardly go anywhere without encountering trouble. Because of his newfound faith, Paul was imprisoned several times. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was stoned with rocks and left for dead. But through all of that, and despite all that, Paul continued to preach this good news of God's love having come into the world through Christ, this new way of relating to God. And people believed, and the church continued to grow. And Paul discovered that no matter what he went through, no matter how difficult, God was there to strengthen him. God was there to stand by him. God was there to help him continue on with courage and with confidence in his pursuits. God was with him through hardship, through persecution, through trouble, through famine, through nakedness, through danger, through the sword. And Paul was not being hyperbolic here. These are things he actually experienced. But God was with him, and God was for him, the same way that God is for you and for me, and with you and me. Now, I'd wager that none of us has ever been chased out of a town. None of us has ever been flogged. None of us have ever been stoned. Well, none of us have ever had rocks thrown at us until we were on the ground. But I'll also wager that every single one of us either has or will face turbulence in our lives, face trouble in our lives, deep trouble, have to make incredibly hard decisions. Every single one of us has had or will have to wrestle with inner demons, face tough temptations, navigate through deep sorrow. And through those times, God does not want us to be alone. God wants to be with us. God wants to stand with us. It's one of the greatest gifts that God has to give to us. It's one of the greatest gifts that we can receive from God. And I am convinced it is the most important truth that we can point our children towards. The truth that God is powerful, that God is present, that God promises to stand with and stand for those who believe. It's the most important thing that we can receive at any time in our lives. It's the thing, it's the news, it's the gift that we celebrate whenever we come into this place. Really, at bottom, that's what we celebrate here. That's what they celebrate in the Sunday school. This good news, this gift of knowing that the world as we see it is not all there is. the material is not all that there is. That there is a divine presence of God that surrounds us, that is with us all the time, that is calling to us all the time. And in fact, in God's grace, He has implanted in us a spark of that divine presence, His image, that needs only like an ember to be breathed upon, to feel the breeze of faith, in order to flare up and to burn brightly and strongly throughout our lives, no matter what we go through, and on into eternity. It's that kind of faith that inspired Paul to say that neither life nor death nor angels or demons or present, or future, or powers, or height, or depth, or any created thing can ever separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. It's that kind of faith that strengthened Paul. It's that kind of love that God had for Paul and that God has for you and for me and for our children. A love that says, I want to be with you. I want to stand with you. It's that hope that Paul points us to today. It's that hope that this sacrament of baptism points us to today. It's that hope that this sacrament of Holy Communion that we will receive today that also points us to today. It's that hope and that love of God that links us to countless believers who for thousands of years into our past lived depending upon God, hoping in God, loving God. It's that love. It's that love that tells us of a God who stands with us and wants to walk with us from the very first steps we take in our lives, through those crazy years where we're building and creating and raising our families, all the way through when our faith begins, our strength begins to wane, and we're taken to that other shore. Through it all, God wants to stand with us and be with us, to strengthen us, to help us live courageously and joyfully. Well, I finally took that board out of my van, and it was funny that during that week, a funny thing happened. My son began to really take an interest in that board, you know, and over that week, it sort of migrated more and more towards my son, so it became really less my board and more his, which made it even more special to me, and more special to me when just a few weeks ago, we put it back in the van with my old board, and we went down and camped and surfed together 4 years after we'd bought that thing. And while we were there, we enjoyed the sun, we enjoyed the surf, of course, but we also talked about the past, memories that we had. We talked about the trials that my son had gone through in college, and they were many. Of course, we talked about his future and how he sees it unfolding. But central to every single one of those conversations and that whole trip was the assurance, the knowledge that God had stood with him and would continue to stand with him. See, God doesn't want us to be alone. God wants to stand with us. It's the greatest gift that he has to offer us. It's the greatest gift that we can receive. It's the greatest truth that we can point our children towards, the truth that God is powerful, God is present, and God promises to stand with and for we who believe. And we praise him for that today. Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we do praise you today for your presence with us. We thank you, O God, that you come to us in Jesus, in a person with whom we can have a relationship. We praise you today that you walk with us, that you are constantly with us. We ask, O God, that you help us to open our hearts to that truth and lead our children to that truth so that we may always enjoy your strength and your presence throughout our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And now we will go ahead and continue with our worship with the sacrament of Holy Communion. The children are going to come in. I'm going to have them all go with their parents. I want to remind you that in the Methodist Church, all people are welcome to come to the table of communion, and that includes children. We really believe that even though communion is a sign of our commitment to Christ, it is also a means by which we receive his grace. So all people are welcome to this table. While the children are coming in, let's go ahead and sing our communion song this morning. It's printed in your bulletin. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Thank you. And if you'll turn to page 12 in your hymnals this morning, we'll continue with this service of word and table with our prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. We have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and a joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so, with your people on earth and all your company of heaven, we praise your name and join in their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, he gave thanks to you. He broke the bread, He gave it to his disciples and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you do it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of our faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. And now, with the confidence of the children of God, please come forward to the table.